Our Father and our God, this morning we do honor and thank thee for the mercy of this morning that thou hast brought us together here to study and to glorify thy name in worship. Holy Father, may thou now bless this time that our word is declared. Bless both the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't personally keep one, but I know of people who love to journal their daily experiences and feelings in a diary. What they usually cannot share with anybody, they journal it down. And their diaries become like a vault of their personal experiences and desires and feelings. But hypothetically speaking this morning, imagine a diary can actually speak. Imagine a diary can gossip. What would it reveal about the struggles, personal feelings, and desires of a single Christian? Well, there might be a lot of different stuff that you can find in a diary of a single Christian. But I believe there is a commonality, a common thread, a commonality that will be in the diaries of single Christians as it relates to their struggles, their personal feelings, and desires. And it is those struggles that this morning I want to really examine. As I want to speak to you singles here, you know, how do you as a single live a life that is glorifying to God in your singleness? I believe the Bible and the Word of God can empower you on how to live a fulfilling life, a life that glorifies God even in your singleness. And this is going to be my topic this morning as I speak to you that are single in this church. Now, before I examine some of the struggles of singleness, I think it is needful for me to first of all debunk some of the myths that people have about singleness. And there are a few myths that I need to debunk this morning. And this is the first one. Being single does not mean that you're abnormal. Being single does not mean that you're strange. You know, one of the common misconceptions about being a single adult is that there is something abnormal or strange about single adults, especially when you're in the mid-30s or 40s or perhaps 50s. You know, since society assumed that most people should get married, when you come across someone that's an unmarried single adult, they tend to look at them kind of strange and kind of wonder, why are they not married? And I think even in the church, while many of us don't say it, when we see a single adult that up there in age, there is always this assumption or this questioning of why are they still single? But I think that is a great misconception, loved ones, to assume that being single is abnormal. You know, marriage or courtship cannot be used to judge a person's sanity. You can't measure a person's sanity because of whether they're married or not. That is a great misconception. And I think even when you go to people who are married, by the way, you see a lot of people who are married that are struggling, that are strange, right? So again, I think it's important to debunk that you can be single and you can be sane in terms of your lifestyle can even be more healthier than those who are married. And this great misconception, I believe, has to stop within the Church of Jesus Christ. The second misconception here is this. You know, some assume that being single is a violation of scriptural teachings. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, we're told that God looked and said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him an helper suitable for him. And out of his rib, we know that God created Eve. And Adam and Eve, we read in Genesis chapter 2, 24, the two became one flesh, as the Lord said those. But this is important to understand, that after the introduction of sin or the experience of sin entered into the human experience, everything turned around. In essence, death came into experience. When death came into experience, that means that people will experience death. A person can get married, and guess what? One person, one of the spouses, die. In other words, they will experience singleness. But that's not only one. You look into scripture and you begin to see even our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ was single. We look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was single. Even the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, listen, I'd like you to be like me, not to come close to a woman. In other words, he was actually advocating for singleness, because he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that when you're single, your focus is exclusively on God. So loved ones, I think I need to debunk that myth. You know, because you're single does not mean you violate scripture. As a matter of fact, being single might be in the right place for God to use you greatly. The third myth I need to debunk is this. You know, the fact that people believe that being single, you're missing out on life. And there is nothing so far from the truth. You know, yes, we know that two is better than one, called Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. But we got to understand that because you're single does not mean that you are missing out on all the benefits of life. Again, when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we can see that even being single can be living your best life, especially when it comes to spiritual understanding of God's truth. You can be living your best life because, yes, you are in the perfect grip of God's grace. Because being single, you now can experience that full devotion to the things of God and begin to live a life that truly glorifies God in His service. So, loved ones, I think it's important for me to debunk those three myths that you can understand this morning as a single person, that you're not abnormal, that you're not valid in scripture, and that you're not missing out on anything. But let me flip the strip this morning. Let me now take a glance into the diary of a single Christian. What are the commonalities as it relates to the struggles that single Christians experience? Well, I believe you can kind of glean three things in terms of commonality of struggles that single Christians face. The first is this. There is the struggle of loneliness. You know, intense feelings of loneliness often engulf people who are single, especially those who live alone, or those who have lost loved ones or have been rejected by a mate. You know, the British scholar, the late British scholar John Stark, you know, he was a man that lived a single life. And in one of his books, he wrote about the notion of loneliness. He said, any single person knows more about loneliness than anybody who is sharing his life with a wife and family. And what John Stark is trying to say is this, that, you know what, it is often rough and difficult. You know, you come home to a lonely home. You know, you sleep in a bed by yourself. Everything is you by yourself. While some people might love their space, but over time, loneliness creeps in and you struggle. And I truly believe if you read through the diary of any single person, you will always find that notion of loneliness. And loneliness is a big issue that at times can affect someone's mental state. And I think this is one of the struggles that single people go through. The second struggle that I believe that you can find in the diary of a single person is the problem of celibacy or keeping sexual appeal. Again, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. Is the problem of celibacy or keeping sexual appeal? You know, we all know that God instructed man. He said, you know, be fruitful, replenish, and fill the earth. In other words, God has called us to procreation. That God, in calling us to procreation, one of the means of procreation is through the means of sexual relationship, what we call copulation. So two people come together in that state and life is conceived. As such, that means God must design our bodies to want to engage in that activity. As such, that activity is going to be very important. That is why the notion of the one flesh was key when we see Genesis chapter 2, 24. And what happens now is this. If you're single, and then you are faced with this drive, with this intense urge to engage in sexual intimacy, and you're a Christian, you see the issue right here, everybody. And, you know, and I truly believe, you know, truth be told, you know, one of the stumbling blocks of many single Christians is that they love the Lord, but they don't know how to control their yearning of their flesh. As such, they struggle with sexual sin. You know, it is not strange, even in our churches, and I'm being honest here, everybody, to see Christians engaging in all kinds of fantasy living or engage in pornography or even living in sexual sin. Oh, don't get me wrong. They know that, but they engage in it because they don't understand how to buffet their bodies and live a life that glorifies God in that area of their lives. And they struggle as it relates to the frustration of sexual desire. And the Apostle Paul will later say that it is better to get married than to burn, because the Apostle Paul understood the implication of burning in terms of that desire. And that's a struggle that even single Christians experience. The third struggle is this, that single Christians experience. It is the problem of identity and direction. Again, I want you to write that down, loved ones. It's the problem of identity and direction. You know, prolonged singleness can result in a lack of direction or a feeling of confusion about the future. You know, it is easy, I believe, for the single person to conclude that life has no purpose because of their loneliness. You know, they feel disappointed, they feel frustration, and their frustration might lead to a state of unhappiness. According to Dr. Collins, in a very great book about Christian counseling, he said feelings of aimlessness and lack of identity are likely to remain in the single person who is self-absorbed or waiting inactively for a hoped marriage that it is assumed will give purpose in life. You know, I like what is said there, because what is said there is a reminder of the notion of the struggle of identity and direction. Because some single Christians actually believe that, you know what, my identity, my fulfillment is when I've got a mate, when I'm married. But when they don't have that, they feel the sense that they are purposeless and they struggle with identity. But this morning, let's flip the script here. Is it possible then for you as a single Christian to begin to live a life, fulfilling life, a life that glorifies God? Yes, I believe it's possible. I believe as a single Christian, you can live your best life now. And I think when you look down the street piece of scripture, you will be able to find principles that can help you as a single person to live a life that's fulfilling, a life that glorifies God. And here are some few things I need to share with you this morning. The first thing here I think you need to begin with is this. You need to first accept your singleness. Again, watch what I just said. You need to first accept your singleness. You know, again, I think it's important here. Don't make marriage or relationship the most pressing and ultimate goal of your life. This is a recipe for disappointment and despondency. If it comes, great. If it still does not come, you know, great. You know, when all your hope and your desire is placed in a relationship, first you are bound to settle for less. And today there are so many people that are settling for all kinds of stuff that a Christian should not settle for. Second, you're bound to sing the blues if whatever you're seeking in terms of relationship and compromising yourself does not come forth. Because you settle for less and you think, well, I'm just going to do it because I want to be in a relationship. And then you discover that the relationship you're in is abusive. Then you come out more damaged than when you went in. That is a big problem, singles. That is why it's important for you to understand that it's not a sin to be single. And you got to face up to that listen, I'm going to choose to be here. And I know that when the fullness of time comes, God who knows my struggle, God who understands my prayer, He is more than able. But I think it's important for you to, first of all, live in this understanding that I'm going to accept the fact that I'm single and I'm going to pursue God in my singleness rather than make it an objective to always seeking this relationship and always going to whatever means necessary. But I think acceptance is important for you to live a life that's fulfilling and a life that honors God. I'm not saying that in your acceptance you don't have desires. I'm saying that come to that resolution in your mind. Come to that understanding that, yes, this is me. This is the state that I am at this moment. This is where I am now. And I'm going to accept this. I'm going to choose to accept this. But I'm still going to be seeking the Lord in prayer that the Lord in His mercy will bring my Adam to me, will bring my Eve to me. I'm going to seek God in prayer, but I'm not going to make it my goal to go out there seeking with all my heart, trying to find somebody. Because that is always a recipe for disaster, loved ones. And if you're single listening to me this morning, I want you to understand that you got to accept that fact, first of all, that yes, I'm single and I'm going to live the best life in my singleness. The second thing is this, I want you to understand. While you accept your singleness, you must also face up to your needs. Again, watch what I just said. You got to face up to your needs. You know, as a single person also, you got to stop pretending as if everything is well. While you can accept your singleness, you can't deny your feelings. You got to be able to acknowledge, you say, listen, there's stuff here that I'm experiencing here. But I truly believe as a single Christian that while you face up to your needs, you need to be proactive in putting some things in place so that those needs does not overwhelm you. Here are the things I think you need to put in place so that those needs does not overwhelm you. First of all, you got to be intentionally active. Again, watch what I just said. You have to be intentionally active. You know, I believe this is the antidote to one of the greatest struggles that single people face, loneliness. You know, the key here is being active and keeping your mind engaged. You got to keep your mind engaged. You know, like the saying goes, an idle mind is usually the devil's workshop. And every time in singleness that you let loneliness overwhelm you, you are going to struggle and you're going to compromise. But what you do, even in those times that you face your needs, your feelings, you got to be actively. Again, watch what I use. You got to be intentionally active. You have to do something to keep your mind engaged. I give you some example of volunteering and working in different areas of ministry, getting engaged in different activity that can keep you so occupied so that your mind can be engaged, because loneliness tend to flourish anytime your mind is inactive. And if you pay attention to this, that means that you have to make yourself do it. It's intentional. Because at times you might not be motivated to even do anything. You might just be too frustrated, but you got to make yourself do it. You got to make yourself engage in something. You know, join a club, join a reading club, join a Bible study club, volunteer for a missionary trip. You know, do something for the Lord. You know, work in the area of ministry. Get engaged. And this is interesting to loved ones. I believe when you begin to serve the Lord with gladness, when you begin to get engaged in so many things as a single Christian, you will see how the Lord can meet your needs in the midst of your mind being engaged, that you don't even think, and somebody there is looking at you because they see within you a uniqueness. They see within you a man of God. They see within you a woman of God, devoted to the things of God. And that in itself can be very attractive and pull people towards you. And that might even be the solution to your loneliness. But the first thing I truly believe, when you face your need, you have to understand you got to be intentionally active. The second thing is this: even as you face your need, you have to deliberately avoid some things. Listen to me, singles. You got to avoid. You got to be deliberate in avoiding some stuff. Because guess what? The devil, we know, has so many mischief to go around. And most of his mischief actually comes through our senses, right? It comes through sight. It comes through our ears. It comes through most of our senses, right? So if you, as a single Christian, get exposed constantly to things that are stimulated, to things that will cause your desire to be aroused, to things that will give you ideas of other things that are not biblical, you run a problem there. You run a terrible problem. That is why I truly believe, as a single Christian, you got to practice this deliberate avoidance. Some things you don't get engaged in. Some things you just don't dive into, because the enemy can use those things as a portal to be able to cause you to stumble. While you understand that these needs are there, you got to avoid some things. And I truly believe that the Bible tells us in this very highly sexualized world that we need to be very careful. Avoid every appearance of evil, says the Apostle Paul. That, you know what? We got to understand that there is lurking in every corner. Even for those of us who are married, we know lurking at every corner. It's always the very tricky deception of the enemy. And if we are not careful, we can get pulled into this deluge of iniquity and sin. And especially for those of you that are single this morning, you have to make it your goal to practice what I call deliberate avoidance. And when you put those two things in place, while you're real about your needs, your mind can be protected so you can live a life of fulfillment. The third thing is this, singles. Listen to me. Always be prepared for the unexpected. You know, since a single person is often self-dependent and he or she, you know, has to do a lot of things by themselves, they cannot afford to be cavalier as it relates to planning. You know, when you are cavalier as a single person, as it relates to planning, that is also a recipe for disaster. You know, lack of planning always fosters insecurity. As such, in light of the security concerns, I truly believe that Christian singles have to take good, adequate, diligent, prudent understanding of making plans and putting it in place. You know, you don't have to wait for the rain before you build a roof. You build a roof before the rain comes. You don't have to get in an accident to get a car insurance. You get car insurance before the accident comes. That is why it's important, I truly believe, that especially for you that are single, that you are one income household, right? Unlike married people, they got two income. Married people, they got a spouse that will come in, help them out. But you're by yourself. That's why it's important for you to always prepare for the unexpected. In financial issues, you got to be very diligent in planning financially in such a way that you don't run into financial problems. You got to plan well so that when those times come, you have resources set aside to be able to meet whatever contingency that come into your experience. Also, you know, you got to have people that are support network that you can say, you know what, I need to be prepared for the unexpected. Does anybody have the key to my apartment? I have a key to my house, even in that singleness, because guess what? Something might happen. You might need them to go check on it. So again, the notion of planning should be critical to you as a single, because when you plan, you avoid all the accidents and incidences of life, which are at times unpredictable. But when you plan adequately, you are able to experience security as much as it depends upon you. And loved ones, this is the final thing this morning. I truly believe in order to live a fulfilling life, a life that glorifies God as a single, you have to resolve to lose yourself in Christ so that you can find yourself. Again, watch what I'm saying. You have to decide and resolve to lose yourself in Christ so that you can find yourself. You know, in Christ is our perfect fulfillment. You know that, right? That only in Christ are we complete. And you and I got to understand that the fulfillment of true life comes when a man is in that perfect fellowship with God. And this is what your goal should be. I am going to seek to begin to lose myself. What does it mean to lose yourself? You know, losing yourself is exactly what the Apostle Paul will teach us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, to surrender, to yield to the authority of the Word of God, to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and to completely surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And begin to walk in this vineyard and begin to serve the Lord with gladness and begin to lose yourself in Jesus and begin to lose. Oh, yes, your needs are going to come. Oh, yes, you're going to feel personal feelings. Oh, yes, desire is going to come. But Jesus is able to help even in the time of need. Jesus is able to help you when those time comes that you struggle. Jesus is able to help you when those time come that you feel alone. Jesus is able to give you the grace to stand. And you got to be very honest here, even in your prayer life. They say, Lord, I'm sold out to you, but Lord, this is the way I feel. And God is able to give you the grace to hold on and stand firm, even in the midst of life's temptation, to stand firm, even in the midst of life's desire, to stand firm, even in the midst of life's crisis. Jesus is able to hold you on. And I truly believe when you lose yourself in Jesus, when you completely surrender your life to him, he is able to make all grace abound. He is able to make all grace abound to you and keep you standing even in your singleness. And if he will, he can send you your Adam. He can send you your Eve at the proper time. And if he does, to God be the glory. But God will give you the best he has. When you honor God with your life, he honors you as well. That is why this morning, single, look into your diary again and write in that diary, I am sold out to Jesus, because I understand that even in the midst of my struggles, when I'm sold out to Jesus, I'm in the best place in the grip of God's grace. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we honor thee. And Father, I do pray for all the singles under my voice. I pray for grace. I know the challenges are strong.